A quick hello and we're good to go. Welcome to the show, Christy Mitchell.
You're not going to make me sing, right?
No, not at all. This is just to save us the effort of putting the jingle at the start. I just sing it.
I love it.
So it makes it easy and it's a lovely welcome. And we're going to be talking about creating a strategic marketing plan in three simple steps. For anybody watching, this is basically the things you need to do to build your digital marketing plan, three simple steps. And it's kind of like the CaliCube process, but perhaps better because you've been doing this for longer. How long have you been building marketing plans for companies?
I have been running my business full-time for just about 5 years. I'm coming up on my five-year anniversary. And prior to that, I spent, 10 years in corporate.
Right. Okay. So you've got more experience in marketing, but CaliCube process has been around for longer than you've had your individual company. I think that pretty much puts us on par. We're in a similar situation. Now, before we get going, I'm going to look at your brand SERP. I always do this at the start, nothing to be afraid of. Anybody interested in brand SERP's knowledge panels, join the CaliCube knowledge panel and brand SERP support group. Right now it's on Facebook. We might move it one day. So you can search for that on Google. And here's the search result for your name. You have a competitor called Christy Mitchell, who is a photographer.
Yes.
But you rank number one. So what I would look at here is, I would say, if you can build a knowledge panel for yourself, you can replace the Christy Mitchell photography with your knowledge panel that explains who you are, what you do, which audience you serve in a summative format, which is hugely useful and valuable to your audience, and also means that you're in Google's knowledge graph, which means that Google then understands who you are and will be able to match you to your perfect audience, the subset of its users who make sense to you. That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You are listening to Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard. Now, back to the show. And great marketing, which is what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. So, three simple steps. Now, I would imagine what we're going to do over the next 30 minutes is walk through the three simple steps.
I would love to do that.
Right, which makes it really easy for me to interview because I say, first question, what is step one?
Yeah.
To creating a strategic marketing plan.
Yes. Well, I would like, if I can, to just take like half a step back first. And acknowledge that marketing, right? You're in this space too. Marketing is usually overwhelming. It's confusing. Yes. There's a lot of moving pieces. Most business owners, if they're not in the field of marketing, can tend to feel overwhelmed by it because there's just a lot to navigate, and to know how to prioritize and where to start and what things are important and what's not is really challenging. And so what I like to do is distill it down into three simple steps, because I think when it comes to the world of marketing, making it simple is the first step to being successful.
Which is brilliant. I mean, making it simple, obviously, simple is hard. Once we present the simple solution, everyone says that's really obvious until we say, well, it wasn't obvious until we pointed it out. And that's what the CaliCube process is all about, is simplifying it all down, prioritizing, using data from Google about your company, about your market. That's what you do, but you do it through inspiration. And we do it through data. And I'm sure, as in many things, data is great, but you need that additional inspiration, the human intuition on top of it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because I feel like there's a lot of synergies between our businesses and the way that we approach things. I do use data with my more established business owners who have been doing a lot of marketing. I love to bring in data into the picture to say, okay, how can we take what you're doing and make it even better?
Ooh, and that means, I thought you were all intuition-based, but you use data. And I just said, we just use data, but we have intuition too. So we're even closer than we thought.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Brilliant. Okay. So now, can we get into step one? Because I'm a bit impatient now.
Yes. Yes. Let's get to step one. Okay. So I like that we're on video because I can use my hands. I know some people may only be listening to this, but think of a funnel, right? The widest part on the top, the smallest part at the bottom. That's the framework that I use with my clients. So not in terms of a sales funnel, which a lot of people think when they hear marketing and funnels, but I like to use the marketing funnel framework to help us organize and prioritize our marketing tactics. So right. at the top of the funnel, first step is attract. That is how people get to know you. So there's a bunch of different ways that you could do this, in branded search being one of them. But having an idea of how are people first learning about you. So a lot of times that's things like networking, maybe doing presentations in front of groups for more people to hear about you. It could be an SEO strategy on your website, publishing articles in third parties, social media. There are a bunch of things that can kind of fall into that first bucket of tactics, but it's really just right. how are new people learning about you?
Which is basically getting their attention by standing where they're looking in the places that they're hanging out and saying, mm-hmm. we're here and here's our solution. And you made a list there and I was thinking we're doing all of those. We use LinkedIn a lot. We post, we engage, we do events. I've just organized an audio event, which interestingly enough on LinkedIn allows the audience to talk to you. Whereas with the videos, they can't. I didn't know that until this morning, which is brilliant. And networking, people forget about real life networking. I was just at Podfest in Orlando. I talked to maybe 200 people. Wow.
Yeah.
And hugely powerful, more powerful than 200 people tagging or commenting on a LinkedIn post because mm-hmm. they see me and they've seen me wave my arms around like you do.
Yes. Okay. So can I ask you a question?
Oh, go ahead. Ooh.
What did you, this will help us get to step two. So what did you do with those people's information? All those right. people that you met?
Well, there are multiple things and it's a great question. So now you're interviewing me. Obviously I collected their business cards. I gave them business cards. So we have mutual opportunities to connect. A lot of them I connected on LinkedIn straight away, some on WhatsApp and some on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. And that was by asking them, which is your favorite preferred channel? So I've got multiple channels, but I'm asking them how they want to connect with me. And secondly, Alex Sanfilippo from Podmatch, who we were hanging out with, I was hanging out with as part of the Podmatch Elite group, is organizing a meetup tomorrow. This is going to be tomorrow in January 2024, where everybody from the Podmatch Elite groups invites the people they met for a massive online Zoom event for debriefing Podfest.
Awesome.
And the other thing we're going to do is write an article taking the offline online about mm-hmm. who I met, what I said to them, which creates that image in Google's brain because it can't see Podfest. It can see online my representation of my participation in Podfest. That makes total sense.
Yeah. I love that. Very cool.
Great. Thank you for asking the question.
Yeah. So that brings us to step two, if we're ready to jump into that. So once people learn about you at the attract phase, that's not enough, right? Because we want to like bring them into our world. We want to build that know, like, and trust factor, which people hear a lot when it comes to marketing. So we need to bring them into our world. And the way that you do that, that second stage of the funnel is called convert. So that is converting someone to kind of become a lead for you. Might not necessarily mean that they're going to turn into a client, but for the purposes of the terminology that I use, it's converting them to a lead. So on your website, that would be having them fill out a form so that now you have their name and email address so that you can stay in touch with them over time, which we'll get to the third step, little preview there. So really at the convert stage, you want to think of how can you bring people into your world? How can you collect their information? And so on your website, right, it's lead magnets, it's freebies, it's maybe webinars or masterclasses or different events that you could hold where people have to register. So now you have their name and email address or, you know, creating some sort of resource, whether it's a quiz or a downloadable document or a how-to guide or whatever it might be. At an event, that's why I wanted to ask you what you did. It could be collecting business cards. And then it's like, okay, what do I do with those? Ideally, you would want to connect with people on social, like you're talking, and get them on your email list. But you can't just put people on your email list without permission. I'm sure you know this. But for the purposes of our audience, you can't collect business cards and then throw everybody on your email list. You need permission. And so thinking in terms of, a lot of times I work with my clients on this, like coming up with a creative event strategy. So what could you do at an event to get someone on your website to then, you know, submit a form? So maybe you're promoting or sharing with people, oh, I have this great resource. If you're interested, you know, you could, if you're giving a presentation, you know, you could have a QR code, people can scan it, get right on their phones, get on your email list right away. But think creatively about again, how can you bring those people into your world, get them to take another step besides just knowing who you are?
Which is brilliant. And I'm going to now say that Alex's idea of a debrief. And I mean, I could just do it with the people I'd met, which would be 200 people. I would probably get 10 of them to turn up. But what he's done is brought a group of people together who all invite them, saying we're having a group meetup debrief. And that's huge. And I think we're going to have well over 100 people turning up this Zoom meet of everybody's contacts, which means I also get to meet other people's contacts and vice versa, which is huge. And I'd never imagined this in a million years. And I'm in the middle of it and it's brilliant.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing new ideas like that. So creative.
Yeah, completely new, from my perspective at least. And for the convert phase, it really is for you getting people on the newsletter. The newsletter is the key, better than any other.
Yes, ideally you want their name and email address, because the thing about social media is that it's a great tool. It can be very effective at the attract phase. And then I'll also talk about the next preview next. You can kind of double dip with social media. It can play two roles for you. But at the end of the day, we don't own social channels. And so I've heard from so many people, and I've experienced it myself. I got put in LinkedIn jail, I will admit, for a week. It was not fun. I panicked. Luckily, I had an email list, so I didn't panic too much. I knew that I could still reach the majority of people in my network. But we hear so many stories, especially I'm hearing more and more people, unfortunately, getting hacked on Facebook and totally losing all control of their Facebook account. And so we just need to remember that in the world of marketing, what you own, what is yours, is really important. And so while social media can be a great tool, I see email as another equally as a, if not more important tool, because then you own it. You own that list. You have those people's information because they gave you permission to email them. And so you can always fall back on that.
Sure, 100%. It allows you to be in front of them at the moment they actually want to make the purchase decision. Somebody on the show many months ago was saying out of 100% of the people who might or would or need your services or products, only 10% are ready to buy at the moment. So you're actually talking to 90% who you then lose sight of if you don't get them on the emailing list. And if you do, moment they are ready to buy, you've got them. Talking of email, is Maria asked me to do this, which is announce that you can subscribe to the CaddyCube newsletter at caddycube.com/newsletter. And you'll learn how to educate Google, which is what we do at CaddyCube. And the illustration at the bottom there, which I love, is the business owner on the website with the users already engaging with their audience, but then also reaching out on LinkedIn, on Bloomberg, on the podcast, through a book publishing or YouTube. Google watches all this, understands that you are offering the perfect solution to the subset of its users who are your audience. You're visibly and obviously serving them very well. And at that point, Google, because it's a recommendation engine, knows that it can recommend the subset of its users who are your audience to you when they are looking for the solution you can provide. Join our newsletter, caddycube.com/newsletter. So thank you very much for your patience there, Christy.
Yeah.
That was a first time try.
That was a perfect ad-libbing. Plug. It was like we planned it, but we didn't.
You teed it up and I knocked it in the goal or across the park or somewhere like that.
Love it. The other thing I just want to mention too about email before we move on to step three is you have to remember too, when we post on social media, just because we're connected with people doesn't mean they're going to see our post, right? We're at the mercy of the algorithms. I can guarantee you that not everybody you're connected with is going to see your post when you put it out there. And so the nice part about email too is that you can pretty much assure, as long as you have a good email address for the person and you know you haven't upset the email marketing gods with bad spammy emails, your email will get to your intended person's inbox. They may not open it, hopefully they do, but even if they don't, they're going to see your name or your company name in their inbox. And so it's a much more assured way to stay in front, engaged, in touch with your audience than social media as well.
Right. And a lot of us, I mean, especially me in the past, have thought, well, if I can get them my website, job done. And getting them to the website is better than just social media. But there is no relationship there, except the fact they might come back if you're lucky.
Yes.
So yep. I've been foolish for many years, and we're now building the newsletter list out thanks to experts like you giving us that very good advice, mm-hmm. and thanks to the CaliCube team who are making it a realistic opportunity and possibility. One of the things that I found very difficult was organizing myself to actually make sure that everybody has that opportunity to subscribe to the newsletter and always remembering to encouraging them explicitly to do it like I did today.
Yes. Yes. And even newsletter aside, that's a great way to do it. And then those lead magnet examples that I talked about as well. Mm. I end up working with so many clients who either don't have a lead magnet or they do, but they're like, yeah, no one's filling it out. No one's downloading my thing. I'm like, well, where are you sharing it? It's not one of those, like, if you build it, they will come kind of things. Like, you build it and then you have to promote it. So you can do that by, you know, pop-ups on your website, not the big intrusive ones that are super annoying, but I always say like the nice little ones that come up in the bottom right after you've already been on the website for 30 seconds or however long. And it draws attention to what that resource is. And if it's a really good resource that your audience needs, they're going to go get on your email list. The other thing too. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. And then we can come to the other things. But one thing about the pop-ups that you mentioned is I've always had a knee-jerk reaction against them. But I think my point is actually you said not the big ones. The big ones where you think you can't get out of it are hugely scary.
Yes.
And they actually scare me. And a little one where the close button is really obvious isn't a problem for me, because I think this is information. I've seen the information and I close it. If you make the close option really obvious, you're not being aggressive and you're not frightening people. You're informing them.
Yes. And that's why I always tell people, like, have it set. I'm on Squarespace. It's very easy. I know on Squarespace, other platforms, I'm sure, have the capability. It might just be a little more difficult. I don't know. But making it so that the pop-up doesn't come as soon as someone gets to your website, because that's not a great experience either. I came to your website. I want to look around a little bit. So don't make the pop-up come right then. The other thing too that I do with my own pop-ups and advise my clients to do is make the settings so that it doesn't keep coming back if someone closes out of it. So if you come to my website, you close out of my pop-up, you won't see it again for 2 weeks unless you come back. If you come back to my website after 2 weeks, then it would show up again. But it's not going to show up every single page that you go to. I cannot stand that on websites, right? Like, oh, I navigated to a new page and look, there's the same pop-up. Like, I already said no. I'm still going to say no. So I think there's very tactful ways that you can do pop-ups to call attention to that resource, again, to draw people in, get them to take an action and get on your email list.
And one thing just to close up on newsletters and pop-ups and so on and so forth, we have a sidebar that scrolls with the page. Do you think that's enough, or do you think the pop-up is necessary?
I like the pop-up because it draws attention to it. And if it's, like I said, if it's a really valuable resource, more so that newsletter is okay. But if it's like a really juicy, meaty thing that someone's going to be like, oh yeah, I want that. I want to take that quiz and know how my marketing is going. Or I want to download that how-to because that's something I've really been struggling with. I think sometimes we do need to draw more attention than just kind of having it somewhere on the page.
Sure. Yeah, and that makes me realize we've got 5 downloadable white papers and they're all hugely valuable. And we underestimated, I think, the amount of work that went into them and the fact that they're free.
Yes.
We should make a big deal of them.
And sharing those regularly on social media, right? Just because you released it 6 months ago doesn't mean it's not still relevant. Hopefully it is. Hopefully it's that evergreen content that you can keep posting about over and over again and getting people to join your email list from it. And sharing it at events or presentations or... Yeah.
And not being shy about it and saying, you know, this is valuable. And if I didn't tell you about it, I'm doing you a disservice if it would be useful to you. And bearing that in mind, that very positive kind of attitude of I'm not offering something to cheat you. I'm offering you something generous and helpful.
Yes. Yeah. Something for free. Yeah. That's hopefully going to make your life easier.
Right. Rewind. You said, and there's another thing.
Yes. I'm so glad you remembered. So the other thing, this is what I call low hanging fruit. As far as the convert stage, right? Because we're still at that second stage of the funnel. The convert stage, if you're already doing virtual meetings with people and using a tool like Calendly or Acuity or one of those scheduling tools, adding a question to that form, asking people if they would like to opt in to your emails is so easy. So easy. If you're already doing the meetings, ask the question. The tough part could be like the tech side, getting the automation to like, okay, someone said yes to this, now send them over. But just hire a really good tech VA and they got you covered. But it's low hanging fruit. If you're already doing the meetings, ask the question. I will say in my experience, 9 out of 10 people say, yes, I'll get on your email list.
Right. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, we use MailChimp and Calendly, and we use both platforms because they're so popular and those integrations are generally available.
Yes.
It's sad to say, but the bigger platforms often save you a lot of time. I'd like to support the smaller companies, but sometimes practicalities come to MailChimp and Calendly in our case because they fit together.
Yeah. Yep.
With no tech. Brilliant. Okay. So we've got to the convert stage, and the convert stage is making sure we can stay in touch.
Yes. So stage three is staying in touch. It's nurture. So let's like recap quickly. So attract, right? You're getting out in front of people, convert, get people on your list. And then stage three is nurture. So typically the two main things that I talk about at the nurture section of the funnel are social media and email marketing. Social media, again, I say you can double dip with it because it helps you get out in front of new people and it helps you stay in touch with people. Not as good as email does, which we already kind of touched on, but having a solid email marketing plan is a great way to stay in touch with your audience over time, continue to provide them valuable, helpful information that solves problems that they're having. They're going to see you as that thought leader so that when that thought leader, trusted resource, you know, you're the person that's going to be top of mind when the need arises and they're ready to hire someone for that.
Right. And something just struck me as I've been told as well, the LinkedIn newsletter system is incredibly good because it's a second newsletter that you need to manage, which is potentially slightly a problem, but actually publishing both. A, you get a post on LinkedIn, the newsletter exists, and anybody who subscribes to your LinkedIn newsletter automatically follows you. So you end up with a huge following on LinkedIn. So it's a double win there. And the only problem is that you then have two newsletters to deal with, and the newsletter is owned by LinkedIn.
Yes.
That's the disadvantage.
Yep. Yep.
But we're going to try it and we'll see what happens. And I think it's a great idea. But for nurturing, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to gently exchange with them? Are you trying to engage a conversation with them? Or are you trying to inform them and educate them towards the bottom of the funnel? Or both?
Yes. All of the things. So I'm working on a project right now with a client. She set up all of these great nurture sequences for emails. So from her lead magnet, people can come in, they come into this nurture sequence, which is a drip campaign, or there's so many different marketing terminology words, but it's basically an automated sequence of emails that are set and they're going to go out as soon as someone meets the criteria, then they drip out over a certain amount of time. And so making sure that you are clear on what you want that sequence to do is really important to create effective email marketing. So for her, she's trying to sell in those, which is fine. She's selling like an additional resource, which is working out well for her. But then she wants people to schedule a call with her as well. And so you just have to be really mindful of what the goal is of that nurture sequence. So one thing that I always tell my clients is you need to help people learn about you. You could keep sharing free resources with them, which is great, but people also really want to get to know you and your business and why they might trust you to help them with the problem that they have. So it's not just about information and ways that they can work with you. It's, let's give people a little sneak peek. Let them know, how long have we been in business? How many clients have we served? What's a great story of a client success that we help somebody achieve? How did you get into the line of work that you're in, right? Just different things like that to help people get to know you.
Yeah, it's building trust by getting people to know you. And I think we often think, well, either people know that already or they will find it, but we actually need to guide them to this information. I was talking to Chris Williams at PodFest, who was saying the most important thing in a sales call is trust, above and beyond everything else. And I think I've been focusing on the services, I've been focusing on the price, but at the end of the day, the trust is the real biggie, which is delightful. And I actually have this screenshot, which is how we look at the SERP, the search engine results page at CaliCube. And I can't actually see which one I'm showing you, but this one, sorry, assistive answer and search engines. We started with search engines that then became answer engines. And in the new world of generative AI, we've got an assistive engine. But if you look at it here, there we go. If you look at it from Google's perspective, on the right-hand side, it's showing its knowledge. On the left-hand side, it's showing its recommendations. At the top, it's showing its evaluation, its opinion. So you have no on the right-hand side, like on the left-hand side, and trust at the top. No, like, and trust. And if you look at Google that way, it suddenly becomes a super simple game to play, which is part of the marketing funnel, but only one part. Do you have anything to add before we come to the very last question, which is branded search within your marketing plan?
No, I think the only thing that I would say, just to kind of wrap up what we talked about, attract, brilliant, convert, and nurture, I would say to anyone who's watching this and feeling like I need to be doing something different with my marketing plan, look at what you have going at each of those three stages, yes, because chances are there's a gap. There's a missing piece somewhere in there. A lot of times people are doing a ton at the attract phase, right? Yeah. They're networking, they're putting themselves out there, they're doing social media. But if you're missing that piece of like bringing people into your world so then you can nurture them, you're only going to have so many potential leads to close, which is going to be a lot less than if you have that strategic funnel built.
Absolutely brilliant. I love the idea of gaps, and I think we fail to notice that there are gaps. We're so focused on the parts we enjoy. And sometimes I find that the gaps are where I don't actually like to be.
Yes.
And perhaps we need to force ourselves to be a little bit more pragmatic.
You're not alone.
Wonderful. Thank you. I do get that feeling that I'm not unique. My mother thinks I am. So the last question is, what strategy would you include for branded search in your marketing plan? Christy, 1 minute. Off you go.
Yeah, I think that branded search can really help in the, it can be one of those pieces, right? If we think of our marketing plan as a puzzle and we got to figure out what those pieces or those tactics are that help create that strategic plan for us to draw in our ideal audience and convert them into clients at the end of the day, branded search is a great piece of that puzzle to make sure that people are finding you when they're searching for you.
Absolutely brilliant. That makes an incredibly neat and tidy, small, handy, helpful hint strategy for people. Thank you so much, Christy. That was really wonderful. I really enjoyed it. I love three steps at CaliCube, everything in threes. Thank you, everyone, for watching. That was brilliant. But before you go, we're going to announce next week, which is Larry Swanson, who is an absolutely delightful chap who I met in Amsterdam a few weeks ago. He's going to talk about leveraging omnichannel content design into digital marketing. I know he's smart. I know he's fun. I know he's going to be informative. And I know he's going to teach me and you a lot. Please, could you pass the baton, Christy?
Yes, I would love to pass the baton on to Larry Swanson. I hear that we are both fellow a little bit nerds in the data side of things. So I can't wait to tune into the conversation myself.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Christy. You get the outro song as well. A quick goodbye to end the show. Thank you, Christy. CaliCube. It's all about your brand SERP.